Today's lesson is so good. I'm so excited. We had such a good group here last week. And then when I went into the church service, the crowds looked like they were down, but I was so happy we had so many in Ephesians. I want you to do your best to come, especially during chapter 1, chapter 2. And chapter 3. And then, of course, when we get to chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, you're going to be totally hooked that you don't want to miss any of it. I'm going to try not to go so slow that you lose your interest. But I can't go fast. I especially can't go fast in chapter 1. Because this morning we're going to look at a doctrine that I bet, if you've not been with me on Thursday morning in Bible study, it's a doctrine that you probably never studied. And it's the doctrine of election, the doctrine of predestination, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. And if you've never studied that, you think, oh, I'm scared of that. I don't know what I think about that. It doesn't matter what we think. What matters is this. What does the Bible say? And so we're going to come, and I'm not going to say, now this is what I think. I'm going to say, this is what the Word of God says, okay? And that's how we're going to approach our study this morning. So I need you to keep an open mind as we study together. And let's let the Bible teach us this morning. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want you to take offense at the Word of God, because sometimes this doctrine is a hated doctrine. I personally love this doctrine. It means so much to me personally, and I'll be sharing that as I teach to you this morning. So let's open with the word of prayer this morning. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to meet on this rainy morning and study your word. I thank you for every woman that got up to be here so that she might hear your word and that she might learn it, so that she will be a woman who is wise, who knows your word, who's a kingdom woman, who knows how to approach life, and who, Father, knows how to counsel others, especially those within her family circle, who knows how to encourage. God, we need your word. We need to know it. It's our greatest need, so that we might be women of prayer, women of faith, and women who are standing in this day waiting for your kingdom to fully come. And so, Father, take this morning and just explode it upon our hearts. I pray, Father, that you will help me to teach this effectively this morning, and not to get bogged down, but to get through it in a timely manner so that we can complete our lesson. And so I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, today marks our second lesson in the book of Ephesians. And so this first chapter, I don't want you to get in a hurry, but it's going to take us several weeks because I don't want to hurry. Now, it's just like when we studied Matthew 24 and 25. Many of you had never studied prophecy before. And so when we came to those two chapters, we had to move slowly because you can't just teach that real quickly. You've got to think about it and digest the things you're learning. And so today, as we come to this chapter, and especially today's lesson, as we're looking at the doctrine of election, the doctrine of predestination, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, I don't want to move fast. And I'm really hoping that you're going to give these lessons a priority. Because this is what happens. When you learn what the Bible says, that's doctrine. And doctrine gets into your heart and it affects your thinking. And when you learn to think in a biblical way, not according to what the world is telling you, but according to what the Bible is telling you. And when you learn to be a woman that is a biblically thinking woman, it will impact the way you live your life. You will walk differently than you did before. You know what it's going to make you do? It's going to make you worship God. Have you ever just thought, I wish I really could worship God in a way that is so worthy of Him? I know He's worthy of worship, but when I learn His Word and I learn what He's done, it just explodes upon my heart and it makes me worship Him. I say, oh God, look what you have done. It's amazing what you have done. And the fact that it's touched me, that just blows me away. And so it causes me to worship Him. It causes me to glorify Him. God is so huge. We cannot put Him in a little box. He's absolutely amazing, and He's big. And so that's what we're going to see today. And we want to live dynamic lives for Christ. Well, we've got to know, what does His Word say? Who does the Word say I am? And that makes all the difference in the world. Now, one of the keys to unlocking the book of Ephesians, and this is what we studied last week, is to understand that the book of Ephesians is a letter, and it's built around a very unique metaphor. Do you remember last week what the unique metaphor is? The church is a body. Good. Write that on your handout. That is a metaphor unique to the New Testament. There are many metaphors in the Bible, and they're in the Old Testament, and they're in the New Testament. For example, and we looked at this last week, we're seen as a bride, as a vine and branches, as a flock, as a building, as a household, as a kingdom. But in the New Testament, this is a unique metaphor that refers to the church. And the church is a body. And who is our head? Christ. And Christ is ruling and reigning and telling the whole body what to do. Now, the book of Acts, when you get to that book, you see the history of the church. The book of Acts gives us the history of the church. This is on your handout. And the book of Ephesians now gives us the theology of the church. We're studying theology, ladies. In the first chapter of Ephesians now, Paul is going to go way back into eternity past, before time ever began, before creation of the world, and he's going to tell us something. He's going to tell us that God master planned the church, the body, before the world was ever created. Now let that sink in. That we're going to see that God master planned the body, the church, before time ever began, before the world was created. So we're going to start this morning with a look, and we're going to go way back into eternity past. Now let's read verses 3 through 6. We covered verses 1 through 2 last week. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace." Now, we're going to stop there for this week. We're just going to go through verses 3 through 6. But I want you to look back at verse 4. Now, you're going to have to wake your noodle up this morning. Stay with me, okay? Look at verse 4. Just as He, who is the He?
God.
All right, good, God. Just as He, God, chose us. Who is the us?
Church.
Who?
The church.
The church, good, Christians. He, just as He, God, chose us Christians in Him. Who's the Him?
Jesus.
Christ, good. We're in Christ. All right, good. He chose us, and when did He do it? When did He do it? Now you're studying your Bible. When does the Bible say He did this? Before the foundation of the world. So what we have here in these verses, we have God at work. He's doing something before the world is ever coming into being. He's choosing out, and He's forming the church, the body of Christ. Now, I just read from verses 3 to 6 for this week, but I want you to know that this whole section is from verse 3 to verse 14, and in those verses, it's just one sentence in the Greek. And it's made up of 202 words.
one sentence. Now, Paul is very wordy. So we're going to have to take it bite by bite. So here's Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He just starts out in verse 3, ascending the glories of the marvels of God's eternal plan, and he just can't stop, and he just keeps on going, and he keeps on going. And basically, it's a discussion of the eternal forming of the church, the body of Christ. And it's going to take us back into eternity, before time, before creation. And we want to give careful attention, because I personally believe this information is absolutely so needful for us as Christian women to understand. I feel sorry for the ones who are missing today's lesson. They're going to come in next week, and they're not going to have a clue. Well, they'll have a clue, but they're just going to miss all of today's good lesson. We need to personalize these verses. You know, I need to look at the Word of God, and I need to see Teresa in the plan of God out of the Bible. And what you're going to see in Ephesians 1 is God master planning every Christian into the church. He did it before the world was ever created. And then here comes creation, and history is simply the outworking of his story that's already written and planned in eternity past. Now, does that just blow your mind? And by the time we're done with these first three chapters, we're going to know who we are in Christ and how rich we are. And these are vital truths for us to know. Because once I understand who I am in Christ, what God has done for me in Christ, and positionally, when I got saved, he took me out of darkness and he placed me in Christ. That's a mystery. I don't understand how he did it. But positionally, that's where I am. Now just let me tell you what that means to me personally. I am not a piece of junk. I am a significant person. Not because I'm so great in myself, but because what God did in eternity past. It gives me a joy. It fills my life with meaning. I have purpose because I understand what God did for me in Christ. So you see, when I realize that God chose me in Christ, he did it before the foundation of the world, I come to the conclusion that God views me as a very valuable person. And God selected me. And God put me in the body. And he did it before the world began. And this is absolutely incredible to know. It all began in eternity past for Christians. He puts our names down in the church before the world ever began. And why did he do it? It's because he wants me to be with him in the Father's house for all eternity. He wants me. I like that. He wants you. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand it because I know me. And I know you. But it's a wonderful thing to know. Now, let's look at verse 3, because this is a wonderful doxology in verse 3. He starts with a doxology. And he says, blessed be the God and Father. All right, now, what does that word blessed mean? Well, in the Greek, we get our word eulogy from that Greek word, eulogy. And eulogy just means to speak well or to speak good of someone. And so God is blessed. You can go in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and he is absolutely blessed. He's the blessed one. Now, not only is he the blessed one, but he's the blesser. Look at what it says. It says, who has blessed us? And so we see, where does blessing come from? Blessing comes from him. You know what James says? Every good and perfect gift comes where? From God. Well, where does evil come from? Well, the bad things in the world come because man is a sinner. They don't come from God. They come from sin. But God is the source of every good thing. And then who are the ones who are blessed? God has blessed us. We are the blessed ones. We are the ones who are the chosen the elected ones, the ones who are saved. And how much blessing does he give us? Look at your Bible. He's blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now that word spiritual in the Greek is always refers to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's always attached to the Holy Spirit. And God blesses us with all that is possible because of the Holy Spirit. Now it's sad, but it's possible for us to live our whole Christian life and never know who we are in Christ. Never lay hold of the riches that are ours. We can live like paupers and never have victory in our lives. That is a real possibility. But it's a sad thing to me. Because we're rich. God could not give us more than he's given us in Christ. There's nothing else to get. It's all there. All the blessings, all the good things that the Spirit can dispense have been freely given to us in the indwelling Christ who is ours. And it's not a question of I've got to find something else. It's a question of learning to use what's already been given to me. We're incredibly rich. There is no missing ingredient. Now let me ask this question. Where are those blessings? Look at your Bible and tell me. Study your Bible with me. In the heavenly places. Now, I've just got to ask. I want to know where that is, don't you? Because everything I need has been given to us in the heavenly places. It refers to more than heaven. It's talking there about the domain of God, the supernatural world of God. Because you know what? We've been made citizens of heaven. We have a dual citizenship. You and I are citizens of heaven, and yet where are we living? We're living on earth. And so we've got to learn how to get what's ours in heaven and bring it down to earth. Now, I'm an American citizen. If I go to an Arab country, if I go to a European country, an African country, no matter where I travel in the world, it doesn't change the fact that I'm an American citizen. And I have all the rights and privileges of an American citizen, even though I'm not there in my own country. And in the same way, when I was saved, I became a citizen of heaven. And just because right now I'm on a foreign land, I'm like a sojourner here on earth, the Bible says, it doesn't change my citizenship. And I have all the rights and privileges that are mine as a citizen of heaven. And so our life is in the supernatural. We commune with God. He's our Father. That's where he is. Our home is actually there. Our Savior is there. And that's where our name is written there. And we have access to that. And yet we live with this tension of being heavenly citizens doing an earthly sojourn. And we feel that tension, don't we? And you know what? Even if you're poor in this world, which we are not. I just got through reading the most wonderful book, Kisses for Katie. If you haven't read that book, you need to read it. It's the most amazing story of a 19-year-old girl who goes to Uganda. And presently, right now, she has adopted personally herself. How many children? 14 children. It's just the most amazing story. You'll realize how rich you are if you read that book.
Who's it by?
It's
by Katie Davis, and that's actually the girl.
The girl, mm-hmm. Thank you, Brittany. So how do we pull these riches down? We do it because we walk in the Spirit of God. We're rich. We've been blessed. Now, why does God allow me to be a citizen? And why does God bless me with all these things in the heavenlies? And the answer comes at the end of verse 3. He does it because where are we? He puts us where? In Christ. And I told you last week, who you are in Christ is just the key to learning. It's not because I am good in myself and I have all the... No, it's because God has placed me in Christ. And in Him, I have all of this amazing resource. So we're part of the body of Christ because we were planned into it before the world began. And when we came to know Christ, We are placed in Him, and we're made joint heirs. And everything that is His becomes mine, and everything that is mine is His. And it's just a fabulous thought. And God made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin. He took my sin that I might become His righteousness. Now, ladies, that makes you significant. That makes you important. Now, let's go and move into verses 4 through 14. Because we're going to look, well, that whole section discusses how God formed the body, how He did it in eternity. And we're going to see a past aspect of it, a present aspect of it, and a future aspect. Today we're going to talk about the past aspect of it. And it can be summed up in one word, and that word is election. That's the past aspect. I can't talk this morning. Now the present aspect is next week's lesson. Don't miss next week's lesson. It's so good. And that one word is redemption. Redemption. We're going to study the doctrine of redemption. And then the future aspect of it can be summed up in the word inheritance. And those are our three key words as we're moving through this section. So today let's talk about election. Look at verse 4 with me one more time. Just as He, God, chose us, Christians, in Him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Now I want you to get this in your mind. That before the world began, before God ever created the earth, before there was ever a time in eternity past, God set His love on you. That is election. God formed the body, the church, and He did it by election. Write it down. Now don't struggle with me. Just be open as we walk through. You say, Teresa, do you believe in election? Yes, I do. You know what? I've studied my Bible.
Say that sentence again.
God formed the body, the church, by election. I think I put that on your handout, didn't I? Okay. And it's absolutely thrilling. Now, wait just a minute, Teresa. Wait just a minute. Something in you says, wait just a minute, wait just a minute. What about free will of man? Well, let me just say, in the first place, that term, free will of man, is never found in the Bible. Man does have a will, but I'll say this to you, it is not free. Because you were born how? A sinner, and you are a slave to sin. So for you to say, I have a free will, is really not true. But do I believe man has a choice? Yes, I do. I want you to turn to John chapter 1 with me. And let's look at verse 11. Go to John chapter 1. We're going to go some places in the Bible. Hope I have time. And let me know how my time's doing, okay? Go to John 1. And I want you to look at verse 11. Well, let's just start with verse 2. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. Jesus, He, came to His own, the Jews, and those who were His own, Israel, did not receive Him. But look at verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. Even to those who believe in His name. So how am I going to be saved? I'm going to, according to that verse, listen carefully, I'm going to receive Him and believe on His name. And so as many as do that, what do they become? According to this, the sons of God. How am I born again? I receive Him and I believe upon His name. But I want you to see that salvation is all of God, because look at verse 13 with me. Who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, this is not a physical birth, who were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Well, if it wasn't my will, whose will was it? What's the last phrase there? The will of God. Who willed it? God did. But who reached out to receive? I did. All right, let's keep going. Turn to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Now just stay with me. You're going to have to think. You're going to have to think. And then next week, as you're thinking about this and you want to talk about it, call me. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved. Through faith. But that faith, look at it, that not of yourselves. What is the that modifying? Faith. What was it? It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works that no one should boast. You see, the faith to believe was actually a gift from God to you. He drew you. Now, we're going to go many other places, so just stay with me. I believe the Bible teaches that man has choice. Whosoever receives him and has faith and believes in his name will be saved. But yet, not of the will of man, nor of the flesh, but it's the will of God. This is very deep stuff we're studying. I believe the Bible teaches the sovereignty of God and election, but I also believe that Jesus said, "He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." The Bible said, "Whosoever will may come." Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But Teresa, those two things just seems like they're opposites. Yes, they're total opposites. How can that be true? How can I resolve this? I cannot resolve it. I can only tell you that the Bible teaches both. And they're like train tracks. One track is the sovereignty of God. The other track is man's choice, whosoever will. One way is God looking from his perspective down. He's absolutely sovereign in salvation. The other is us down here looking up. And we receive. And it's looking from salvation from our perspective. But they're like parallel tracks. And I'll never harmonize the two. Never. You know what I do? I just say, God, you're huge. You're huge. I cannot put you in a box. And my puny little mind cannot comprehend this. But by faith, I take what your word says and I rejoice in it. Because you know why? God chose me before the foundation of the world. And that thrills my heart. To know he placed me in the body. And I don't understand that. But I can rejoice in that. And I cannot put God in a box. Because Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord. Isaiah says his ways are higher than our ways. And we just have to rest in that and not let our heads get all scrambled. So there's a Godward aspect and there's a manward aspect. Now go back to Ephesians 1 and let's look at verse 4 again. It says, just as he chose us. Let me tell you that the verb tense there of that word in that phrase in the Greek means to pick out. It means that God is picking for himself and nobody else is there and involved in the process. And so, we are the elect. Before the foundation of the world, we were chosen. Now, it's all of God. And if we had had anything to do with it, then verse 3 would say, blessed be us. But we don't. And so our praise is all toward God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn to Revelation 13:8, because your names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I want to show you something about that book. Go to Revelation 13 and look at verse 8 with me. Revelation 13, verse 8. And it says there, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him, speaking of the Antichrist. Everyone except, look, those whose names, everyone whose names has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. When were those names written in that book? When? Before the foundation of the world. Turn to chapter 17 and look at verse 8. And the beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and to go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will wonder whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And there we see again the mention of this book of life of the Lamb that was written from the foundation of the world.
What was that second verse?
17:8. Revelation 17:8. Now think with me about this. God chose, he elected a nation in Genesis. He had a plan of redemption to bring the Messiah into the world. He was going to do it through a nation. What was that nation?
Israel.
God elected Israel. He didn't say, let's have a contest. Let's see which nation is going to be the best nation, and I'm going to pick it. Let's all have a contest. Now, he sovereignly elected Israel to be the nation that would have the law given to it and also be the nation through which the Messiah would come. If you go to 1 Timothy 5, verse 21, you see there that it speaks about elect angels. There are certain angels that he has chosen. And then Jesus said to his disciples this, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. He elected them. And then to Paul, he said, he just accosted Paul, and he told Paul, I've chosen you to be the apostle to the Gentiles. So we see the church being elected before the foundation of the world. We see the angels. We see nations. Your birth, your salvation experience was not a surprise to God. It was all in accordance with the divine plan of God. Now, I come from a very dysfunctional background, and I've shared that with you. And you say, well, you wouldn't share so much, Teresa, but I like to be transparent with you. I mean, I don't come to the church with anything in my flesh. I don't. I was from a very dysfunctional background. And I guess I was damaged in a lot of ways. And, you know, you hear so much about self-esteem and all of that kind of stuff in our generation. And I'll just say I didn't have very high self-esteem. I really didn't. I felt very unworthy. I felt very insignificant. I felt very needy. And then I got born again. And I started learning who I was in Christ. And so several years ago, I started teaching the book of Romans. And the book of Romans is the most doctrinal book in the Bible. You cover every doctrine. And when you get to chapters 9, 10, and 11, you study the sovereignty of God. I never knew God chose me. I just thought somewhere along the way, I decided to be a Christian. And that, you know, I always felt unworthy. And I always kind of had a disconnect with God because I didn't have a good earthly father to model my relationship with him by. My father was an absent father, and I just kind of felt in my heart God was a little absent. Yeah, he let me be in his family, but I was the least. That's kind of how I felt. And then when I studied the sovereignty of God, and I saw that God chose me, it blew me away. And it totally transformed the way I felt about myself and the way I lived. I mean, I had to get right thinking. I had to learn to think biblically. And I'm not a piece of junk. And I'm not just damaged goods. And you know what? God was there in my childhood when there was neglect. And God was right there with me, bringing me through it. And now today, that's my platform. I spend a lot of time counseling women who've come out of backgrounds like that. And I understand where they are because I've been there. And I can tell them, know the Bible. It's the key. It'll heal your emotions. I don't care what happened to you back there. God can use it and turn it and work it together for good. Amen? We need to learn. I was in God's master plan of eternity. Listen to what 2 Timothy 2:10 says. We're studying it on Thursday mornings. It's so good. This is what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:10. I, Paul, endure all things. Now, let me just tell you where he was. He was in a pit, a real pit, and the sewage of Rome ran right by it, and ever so often they would lift up a gate and drown all the prisoners in there in sewage. He didn't drown in sewage. He was beheaded. But that's where he was. He was at the end of his life. He was suffering. And let me tell you why he did it. He says, I endure all things. Why do you do it, Paul? For the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Wow. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. You're beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. When did he do it? From the beginning. You see, it can't be any clearer than that. We are chosen. We are strategic. We are important to God. Listen to Acts 13:48. And many believed because they were ordained unto eternal life. Wow. The Bible says God chooses. And the Bible says we have a part too. And you see it in all the whosoever's in the Bible. Acts. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10. Whosoever believes on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, Revelation 22. Come, whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life. So you have whosoever's all over the Bible. And then you have all over the Bible that you're chosen by God. Which is right? They both are. They both are. I believe them both. And somehow, I just let God resolve it in his infinite mind. I let God be God. He is the sovereign of all history. Now, I want you to turn to another place in the Bible. I want you to go to John 6. Because I think you see the sovereignty of God and the free will of man in one verse there. I think it's a unique verse. I love it. John 6:37. Are y'all enjoying this study?
Yes.
It's interesting, isn't it? Anybody mad at me? John 6:37. Look at that verse. Now we see them both in this verse. He says there, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. Now that's sovereignty of God. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And then what does he say in the next half? And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. You say, Teresa, what if I'm not elected? I'm just afraid. Oh, this scares me a little bit, because what if God didn't choose me? You know what I would say to you? And he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Run to him. He will not cast you out. He will not cast you out. Go to Romans 9. Got to hurry. I hear talking out in the hall. How's my time, Ann? Am I doing okay? Ooh, Romans 9. I do so want to finish this. Now, I want you to look at verse 10. This is the section in Romans now all about the sovereignty of God. Look at verse 10. And not only this, but there was Rebecca. You remember who Rebecca was? And when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac, for though the twins, listen carefully, were not yet born, and had not done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose, according to his choice, might stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, Rebecca, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. When did he say that? Before they were ever, what? Born. Wow. Does that make you nervous? What shall we say then? Is there injustice with God? May it never be. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. And then look at this verse. So then, it does not depend on the man who wills, or the man who runs. Well, then what does it depend on? Look at it. But on God who has mercy. You see, God is absolutely sovereign in salvation. And the children, Jacob and Esau, were chosen before they were born. So it was all of God. And the glory is all of God's. But if you go to the very next chapter, look at chapter 10 and verse 13. Go to the very next chapter of Romans 10, 13. And it says, for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You have the sovereignty of God on one hand. You have whosoever will on the other. Sovereignty of God, that's man's side. Whosoever will, that's looking at salvation from our side. Now, when did God do this? Let's go back to Ephesians. I want you to see that he did it before the foundation of the world. That's very clear, and we've looked at it. In theology, we call that predestination. The word predestination means marked out beforehand. In eternity past, God marked out beforehand who would be in his body, the church. Listen to Matthew 25:34. We don't have time to run there. Just let me read it for you. There it says, it's the joy of God the Father to give you the kingdom which he prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. See, all of this was prepared before the foundation of the world. Listen to 1 Peter 1:19. You were bought with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot who was crucified before the foundation of the world. He was crucified. He paid the price before the foundation of the world. The kingdom, everything was planned before the foundation of the world. That was 1 Peter 1:19. Now what I want you to say, you see, things aren't just going helter-skelter in earth happening by chance. He has written history. That gives me such wonderful confidence because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what? The banks could fail tomorrow. I hope they don't, but that could very well happen. And if that happens, we're without a job. Oh my goodness. But you know what? I'm just, God, you're already there. You're on your throne. I don't know what is in store for America, and you don't either. We don't know what, but we just studied Matthew 24 and 25, and we know it's not good. Now, why did God do this? Why did he do this before the foundation of the world? He did it for two reasons. Number one, according to Ephesians, he did it that we should be holy and blameless before him. You say, I'm not very holy and I'm not blameless. Well, Paul is talking here once again about your position in Christ. And he also did it, it says, he predestined us, listen, in love. He did it that you might be holy and blameless, and he did it because of love. And when he did it, what was the result? I'm moving fast because we're out of time. The result was this. This is so good. Adoption. Adoption. In love, having predestined us unto the adoption of sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself. You know what? You're adopted. You can run to God and you can say, Daddy. You have access to him. And then one more reason, he did it for his glory. And that's verse 5. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. He did it and he gets all the glory. Now listen to me. The Lord chose the body. When did he choose it? Before the foundation of the world. He marked it out beforehand. He did it all by himself with no human help, no human will. He did it so that the glory would all be his. If salvation were half God and half me, then God would get 50% of the glory and I would get 50% of the glory. If salvation were 95% God and 5% me, I would get 5% of the glory. He would only get 95. But I'm saying to you this morning that salvation is 100% God. And he gets all the glory. And he did it for his own good pleasure. Now hang on, let me wrap this up. God has eternally formed the body. And if you're a Christian, you're a part of it. You don't need to struggle with inadequacy. It's just so wonderful to learn that even though all the world about us is so confusing, it's all going according to His plan. He has the blueprint. The church is being built. And the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's seated on His throne. He is very God of very gods. Omnipotent, sovereign, potentate of the whole universe. And He will build His church. And we will all be there because that's the way He planned it throughout eternity. You're important. You're in the body and you were saved in order to serve. You're to serve Him. You're to serve each other. And you're to go out into the world and give the message of the gospel because there are other elect out in the world that must hear it. Now, I don't want you to miss next week because we're going to look at redemption. You're going to see it in a way that you've never seen it before. It is so absolutely rich. When I taught Ephesians before and I learned and studied redemption, oh my goodness, it just absolutely blew my mind. And it just makes all the difference. Now I want you to go out and think of this. When did God choose you? When?
Before
the foundation of the world. He marked you out beforehand. Why? That you would be holy and blameless in Christ. That you would bring Him glory, and He did it because of love. Rejoice in that. Does that make you want to worship God? Does that just make you want to shout hallelujah? And when I learned that, it just blew me away. Go home and meditate on these things. Read Ephesians 1 and come back next week. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Help us to be women who think biblically. These are deep truths. These are meaty things that are in Your word. And Father, we've been on the milk so long, we've not understood what You've done for us in Christ and how there the Trinity was before the foundation of the world in eternity past. And You were planning and marking out the whole plan of redemption and who would be in the body. And God, what a privilege. We are daughters. We can run to You. You are our God, our Father, and we have access to You. And You've given us everything in the heavenly places in Christ. Father, forgive us for not knowing what You've done. Help us to be women who think biblically and who live in victory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Run, because I want to know.